Welcome to the Point Forward podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinels, J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
The Point Forward podcast, semi-emergency edition. The Milwaukee Bucks got some bad news late on Thursday. Chris Middleton is going to miss, at minimum, it sounds like, if you believe all the reporting, at minimum 2 weeks with a sprained MCL. He'll be on the shelf after slipping in Game 2 against the Chicago Bulls. The Bucks, everyone knows, lost that game. It was only 4 points in the end, but really a very rough Game 2, even when Middleton was on the court. And now they stand to be without one of their top three players for the foreseeable future, and quite likely deep, if they are able to get that far, deep into these 2022 NBA playoffs. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Point Forward podcast, and on the other line, Jim Ozarski, Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This won't be our usual full episode, but we did need to check in because the Bucks and Bulls are tied at one going into tonight's Game 3 battle at the United Center, and it's no longer as sure a thing as it seemed to be at the start of the week. Still think the Bucks are going to win this series, but they now have a little bit of an uphill battle. Jim, just right off the top, what does it mean to not have Chris Middleton? We talked earlier this week about, can they win this if Middleton isn't playing well? Well, now they're not going to have him at all. And not only that, Bobby Portis got hurt. So I'm not sure what their depth situation is going to look like. So just what are the big talking points, the big thing that the Bucks need to do now with Chris Middleton unavailable?
Yeah, and let's not underscore, this is a big deal. I mean, he's a three-time All-Star, you know, a 20-point-a-game scorer, 5 assists. And then, you know, at 6'7", JR, I mean, he's defended DeMar DeRozan and Jaylen Brown and Kevin Durant. And I mean, Chris is still a very capable defender and can have, I mean, he's important to them. I mean, there's a big three for a reason. So this is a problem. I think in the near term, they can still beat the Chicago Bulls. It has become more difficult now. But, you know, should they play Boston for sure? And or Brooklyn, him missing that series, which it seems probable, that becomes infinitely more difficult. So let's get that out of the way. In the near term, against Chicago, JR, look, Laurie Nickel wrote this, you know, after Game 2. The bench has ultimately disappeared in short order here for the Bucks, and now you're, you know, either moving Pat Connaughton into the starting lineup or Grayson Allen. That bench is so much thinner now. And you're going to need one of those guys to look. One of them isn't going to score 20 and do 20 and five. One of them is not going to be your fourth quarter ending go-to finisher. There's a ripple effect here, JR, that I think is probably going to be underrated nationally because of Chris Middleton's status. But for the Bucks, man, I mean, end of game, end of quarter, and sheer volume going to need to be addressed in a day off and some only a couple days off here in games 3 and 4 this weekend.
Chris Middleton famously awesome against the Boston Celtics in his career. So a potential second round meeting against a team that, as we record, this is up 2-0 on Brooklyn. That would be, like you said, much more difficult. But zeroing in on this Bulls series, I think if we had... We talked about this after Game 1. You know, that was a rock fight, but the Bucks won, and you had to figure, well, they'll hit another gear. The Bucks are better than this. They had a week off. They traditionally don't play well in Game 1s. All of that was borne out, and they still won the game. So, oh, bad news for the Bulls, because the Bucks are going to play better. Well, then Game 2 came, and the Bucks did not play better. And we'll talk about some more of the particulars of that game, but suddenly, now that 2's a trend, you know? Like, 2 makes it sound like two games like that at Pfizer Forum makes it look like the Bulls maybe have something figured out on how to defend this team or how to at least gum things up enough where they're really scratching and clawing. And like I said, again, even when Chris Middleton was on the floor, that was the case. And Chris Middleton was struggling, and a lot of people had latched onto that. But then he started out guns a-blazing coming out of halftime and was really one of the reasons they stayed in that game and wound up making a charge. So I guess I kind of want to just ponder, you know, what? How in danger are they with this Bulls series? Because... Yeah, we both just said we think they're still going to have enough firepower to win. But it's 1-1. The Bulls technically right now have home court advantage. I'm not worried about the Bucks winning a game at the United Center. I think it can be done. But it's also fair to note that 2 games in a row makes it look like the Bulls at least have something figured out. And if DeMar DeRozan is hot like he was in Game 2, this is at least going to go six games and maybe seven and maybe worse, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, it is a it's a tougher road, and there is credit to Chicago here for the way that they have played defense. Alex Caruso had a lot to do with Chris Middleton's struggles in the first two games. Alex Caruso then, when Chris Middleton went out, moved over to Giannis and drew another offensive foul, and you know, has generally been a pest. And yeah, DeMar DeRozan, 40 points. I think Zach LaVine in the 20s. Clearly, you know, the Bulls played well. Now, I will say, look, the only team playing worse offense in two games through the first round of the playoffs than the Bucks are the Bulls. I mean, so let's not sort of forget how well the Bucks have played defensively either. You know, they have caused just as many problems. And you had to have, if you're the Bulls, this is sort of superhuman effort for DeMar DeRozan. So maybe the mean is the average is in between. Is he going to score 40 a game three more times? Is he going to score or miss 19 shots three more, right? So, I mean, it's probably somewhere in the middle. And look, if you're a Bucks fan, we just saw the Bucks blow out the Bulls without Chris Middleton less than a month ago. You know, at the end of March, Chris Middleton sat with rest and the Bulls scored less than 100 points. The Bucks won by 30. Why? Because, again, they played tremendous defense. Drew Holiday and Giannis Antetokounmpo were incredibly efficient on offense. And guess what? Bobby Portis, Grayson Allen, Wes Matthews, Pat Connaughton all scored in double figures. So if you're looking, if you're a Bucks fan and you're looking, oh, how can this happen, or what can the Bulls do? I mean, we literally just watched it happen not that long ago. So if you're the Bull, if you're the Bucks, you're putting on that game film, you're going back to that game plan, offensively, defensively, saying, hey, just got to do it again. Look, yes, Chris Middleton being out is a big deal. The Bulls were one seed for a long time. They have played really good defense this year. And yes, you're right, JR, this could go six games. No, because the Chris Middleton injury is big. But the Bucks are still a better team. And, you know, if they just do what they're supposed to do, they should win the series. And now, at this point, obviously, I think predicting games is out the window. But I think there is – the formula is there. Now Mike Budenholzer and the Bucks just have to, you know, rediscover it and reapply it.
Yeah, and that anecdote you mentioned with the Bucks players off the bench playing very well. And I know Lori wrote about that at JS Online, like you said. I've never cared too deeply about the bench as a concept, because in the playoffs, everything gets really tight down to rotations. But you do have to have those individual performers, especially now when you lose a starter. So you mentioned Pat Connaughton. He has not shot the ball well. He, of course, was one of the, you know, major missing ingredients or X factors, whatever you want to call it, in last year's run to the championship. This year, I think he's only 2 of 12 through these first two games, shooting from three. You could see him in the starting lineup, I guess. Somehow they could go back to Grayson Allen, but I don't know how they would. I don't know if they'd really do that with keeping Wesley Matthews in the starting five. So I've got to think it's Connaughton, maybe Bobby Portis, but like I just mentioned at the outset, I don't know if we know for sure how healthy Bobby Portis is. He took a elbow to the face, had a horrible cut on his eye, you know, like, and he wasn't able to continue in that game, and I think that cost the Bucks something in game two as well. So if they can get him back, there's obviously an energy component, especially at home, which is not where they're going to be, but there's something there. And Portis had a double-double in game one, and is maybe that guy who comes off the bench and helps out. But It gets really thin here. You said Connaughton off the top. I'm guessing you think that's the guy who's going to be subbing into the starting lineup.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like, look, Mike Budenholzer is nothing if not a creature of habit, and he plays the guys he likes. That's why George Hill is still on this team, why Wes Matthews was brought back. Pat Connaughton, you know, when Chris Middleton was out with health and safety protocols earlier in the year, I mean, Connaughton was the guy who started. Now, granted, Wesley Matthews was not on the team at that point. That Bulls game I referenced, Grayson Allen was still in the starting lineup at that point, JR, and it was Wesley Matthews who started for Chris Middleton, who was out. So, look, there's a defensive downgrade to Connaughton and Allen. I mean, that was the reason Allen was moved out of the starting lineup. So the question is, what do they think gives them a bigger benefit as a scoring option in both instances? So I can see Grayson Allen moving back JR just because he started 60 plus games. And when Chris Middleton was out this year, JR, Grayson Allen averaged nearly 18 points per game, shot it at 58% from the floor, over 40% from three. I mean, he was the guy who got the touches. So I could see Mike Budenholzer going back to that and still hoping Pat Connaughton and Bobby Portis can give them the scoring lift off the bench.
And they would still have three elite defenders on the floor, like you're saying, Wesley Matthews, Drew Holiday, and Giannis. I want to touch briefly on how Drew in game two, because it ties up with the trend that what we saw last year. And I think we even mentioned this. You sometimes forget how rough the playoffs were for Drew Holiday offensively last year because they ended up winning the title. He ends up getting the big steal at the end that leads into the dunk that everyone remembers. And you know, all is forgiven, forgotten. But it bears mentioning that Drew was very inconsistent offensively in the postseason last year. And through two games, we haven't probably seen his best offense again, as with Chris Middleton. In the second half, he was a little different than the first half. But I understand how teams are able to bother Chris Middleton, who I think is more of a rhythm player. And over the course of a series, I can see there being more ebbs and flows with Chris Middleton's game. I don't know if I feel that way about Drew Holiday's game. Now I get that defense is his calling card, but he's also a very capable playmaker who can get to the basket and can shoot it a little bit. And it's not just missed shots here. It's careless turnovers, like really baffling turnovers from a guy that, you know, I think is probably one of the smartest players in the NBA, or at least just that's my biased, you know, I will only watch the Bucks sort of perspective. But I don't know. Is there something about playoff basketball where his stuff just doesn't work, like, for lack of a better way of putting it? I don't understand how a player that we've seen all year can be so effective and so in control and so good, and then he gets to the playoffs against a Bulls team that, you know, isn't bad defensively. They're okay, but like, you wouldn't expect Drew Holiday to be completely out of sorts, especially now that, you know, with no Middleton, you're going to need Drew and Giannis at the peak of their powers. What's up with Drew Holiday?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he was playing really, really good basketball, you know, heading into the playoffs, which was unlike last year. I mean, in hindsight, JR, I mean, his end of the regular season was not very good. And maybe that foreshadowed what was to come in the playoffs. Look, he's a guy who, you know, he's not a jump shooter. He's not a three-point shooter, even though he did set a career high in three-point percentage. I mean, he's a guy, even though he's not a... It's so weird to say, even though he's not a flashy above the rim finisher, he's a guy who kind of gets to the paint. You know, he scores at all three levels, but it's very methodical, you know, get to the paint, little hooks, little layups, both hands, you know, the occasional 15 to 16 footer, you know, two or three threes. And then all of a sudden he's got 19 points. I think the fact that the defenses in the playoffs, JR, really, really sink to the paint to ward off Giannis has a effect on Drew Holiday, because he's also, I think he's an inside out kind of scorer, even though that's non-traditional. And I think sometimes Drew, whereas Chris is always on some sort of level and rhythm and looks the same, Giannis, it's far more dynamic. But it's basically always the same, right? There's one gear, there's one speed for both of those players. Drew, it does feel like you know when he's trying, and that invariably doesn't go well for him. You know, the ball just rattles around the rim, or he, you know, there is that turnover, that type of thing. So I think going forward, JR, he just needs to sort of find his speed, whatever that may be. And we've seen it, you know, we've seen him, like, again, this Bulls game without Chris Moore, scored 27 points, 12 of 17 shooting, 7 assists, no turnovers. I mean, that's a Drew Holiday game. He'll just need to find that. It'll be a little more difficult. Alex Crusoe no longer has Chris Middleton to defend. I'm guessing Drew Holiday is going to see him a bit. So there's a domino effect there. Drew always got the third defender, right? not the first or second. So that's the effect of Chris Middleton, a player of that caliber, not being here. And Jrue Holiday, yeah, he's going to have to play better and do more, but not try to, if that makes sense.
Yeah, this series has really opened my eyes to how effective a defender Alex Caruso is. You know, I knew he was good, but he is a problem, which I guess I wouldn't have thought of going into the series. And he has definitely created havoc for the Bucks. This is mumbo jumbo, I think, but in the NFL, you hear a lot when a key player is gone, like a key receiver, for example. Oh, well, Davante Adams is out. Aaron Rodgers is going to have to be more focused and spread the ball around and, you know, be more dynamic than usual. Doesn't have that safety valve. You know, I imagine there are a fair amount of people who are thinking, okay, Chris Middleton is out. They don't have a jump shooter as good as him, so they're going to have to be really, you know, really focused about finding open shooters and creating mismatches and doing what it takes to get Giannis free, because you know that the added attention is going to go his way. So I don't know if there's any kernel possibility there that the Bucks could alter their plan without him and thus free some things up. Does that just sound too pie in the sky?
This is... We can't get too far into the weeds on Mike Boonholzer playoff adjustments here, James.
Oh, no. We're done.
But, no, I think, but that is a real thing. We'll have to see it. We did see it last year as they ran to the title with different things. I don't know how you open things up for Giannis because, JR, look, the Bulls could, or the Bucks could hit 27 threes. Every team's going to live with that. They're not going to want him to get to the basket. So, yeah, that they've been dealing with this for 4 years. It's the same. I don't think there's any answers to that that are special or can be done now that one of your better perimeter players is no longer there. I mean, anything, it's going to get worse. So
I'm going to go on a limb and say if they hit 27 threes, they're going to win the game.
Yes. Yes, they will win the game if that is the case. But that's what they're going to make them do.
Right.
You know,
right.
Giannis is not going to get any better spacing than what it's been, just like last year. He's just going to have to now, JR, he's been called for, what, 3 or 4 offensive fouls in 2 games?
Yes.
He's going to have to be more mindful of that. That clearly affects him in the way he plays on both ends of the court. We'll see how they officiate that in games 3 and 4. He's going to have to make his free throws, you know? So I think really it's more, as he'll say, it's focus on yourself. You know, that this is more a Giannis thing, I think, than anything really Mike Budenholzer can do. He's just going to have to figure out how he's being officiated and knock down his free throws.
Before I let you go, one thing, I just need someone to explain this to me like I'm a 5-year-old boy. Bobby Portis gets hit in the face, right? And a lot of people online are replaying this and wondering why there was no foul called, why there was no review, whatever. I might just not understand the process of when you can review or when you can look back, but I don't understand how Bobby Portis can stand there looking like he's a character in Game of Thrones with blood streaming down his face. And there's nothing that can be done about it. Like no one's reviewing it. No one's looking at it. I personally, even after the replays, didn't think it was that egregious of contact. I guess it was just like, as it was just the right spot maybe, but how can nothing be done about that? We had not that long ago, Pat Connaughton was bleeding all over his face and that wasn't a foul either. You know, I feel like late in games, even if there's nothing you can even pick up live, all of a sudden refs are blowing things dead and taking a look at it, making sure that there's no, you know, there's no flagrants or whatever. What's up with that? How does that happen and nothing be done about it?
Yeah, quickly. So this will not make anyone happy, but this is what happened. We asked for an official explanation after game one. The official says we did not see it live during the play or during the live play. So if we recall, there's a stoppage after that with the blood rule. By rule, once a change of possession has occurred, which is what happened, a replay is no longer available. And so...
Why? That's so dumb.
Yeah, well, that's what the rule is. So yes, after the game, the official said, of course, we see the inadvertent elbow, and it would have been called a loose ball foul. You know, in the moment, but yes, per NBA rules, once that change of possession occurred, it's in the past. So that is now that will have to be addressed or perhaps change going forward, but that's why that happened the way it did.
I mean, I understand change of possession. It's like you don't want to put, you can't put toothpaste back in the tube. You don't want to erase what has since happened because you'd be going back in time. I kind of understand that philosophically, but we're talking about a guy who deserves some sort of foul adjudicated against him. Like, you can have extra action after that. They do that with 3-point shots. Oh, that 2-pointer from, 10 minutes ago is now a 3-pointer, like, it's the same thing to me. You can have dead ball free throws. We have them all the time. So I don't get it. I don't get how an inability to see. I mean, those guys were going for the ball. Why didn't they see it? It wasn't hiding. It was where the action was. So a little frustrating, Jim. A little frustrating for Bucks fans.
Yes, I understand that. That's for sure.
All right, that's what we got for today. Game 3 tonight at the United Center. The Bucks and the Chicago Bulls, series tied at 1-1. All the other big heavyweights in the Eastern Conference have won all of their playoff games to this point. So the Bucks stand to fall behind a little bit without one of their top three players. This is going to be a tricky thing going forward. We will see how it shakes out, Jim, and we'll do our normal Point Forward podcast on we'll release that on Tuesday morning per usual after Game 4 on Sunday. So thanks for joining me, Jim. We'll talk to you again soon.
Talk to you then.
Find us on Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating and review. I'm at JR Radcliffe on Twitter. He's at Jim Ozarski. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We will chat again in just a few days. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward Podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.